This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We need to talk to Lauren Williams, though, who covers the Hawks for the AJC and AJC.com, and she joins us right now. And Lauren, nice little win streak here, you know, that's been going on with our Hawks. And Mike has been talking about trying to get to 500, and we were saying that's a nice feat, right? I mean, if we're able to do that, I will be more inclined to get excited if we're able to get into the play-in, get out of it, and then maybe make some noise in the first round. But look, let's take baby steps. Tell me what's going on during this win streak and why you think they've been successful.
Yeah, I think the big thing is that George Niang is hitting his shots. But the big thing is also that they've just been taking care of business. Trey's been playing absolutely out of his mind. He's been putting up some of the most efficient numbers that he's put up this season so far. I think in the last six or so games, he's been shooting, you know, at 50% or better. So I think it's huge that the team doesn't need to rely on him to, you know, take these ridiculous shots that they needed him to, while the rest of those guys, Niang, Caris LeVert, Terrence Mann, were kind of getting acclimated to the system. The other big thing is just that Caris LeVert has been a huge lift for them off the bench, just because of his ability to create shots for other people. The ball's been whipping around the court like nobody's business. Dyson Daniels has been doing a heck of a job also carrying some of that creation load. And so I think the fact that the Hawks are having a lot of guys involved in the offense, it just sets them up for success. Of course, they've got a tough game against the Rockets tonight. A lot of those wins came against teams that were kind of hurting. You think the Hornets, who just recently got eliminated from playoff contention, the Sixers, who, you know, haven't had their key guys for basically, you know, the second half of the season. And then, of course, Golden State, they played without Steph. So that one was a very good and convincing win, of course. But I think the big thing is that the Hawks have just been playing the pass.
Hey, man, we'll take it. As we said, you know, we're basically rolling with 3/5 of our starting five for the start of the season. So, yeah, and I thought with Trey, you're right. He's averaging, like, let me look it up. He is at 26.2 for the month of March. And we played a soundbite yesterday where it was funny because a lot of our listeners said, wait, I thought he didn't want to play with DeJounte. But he talked about trusting his teammates. And just, it seems like it's like I can be the point guard. And yes, sometimes I'll give the ball to other guys, but I don't want to compete with a guy like DeJounte Murray. That's just NBA 101, isn't it?
It absolutely is. I think the big thing is that, you know, Trey is really taking, we talked about this before, he's really taken steps forward as far as maturity. But I also think the fact that he has very consistent guys who are knocking those shots down, you know, it lends itself to him building trust with them pretty quickly. All three of these guys, Terrence Mann, George Niang, Caris LeVert, have had, you know, plenty of experience. I mean, between the three of them, they've each, you know, they've played a collective, what, like 15 years in the league? So they absolutely know what they're doing, and they're able to push the pace. They're able to be, you know, not only contributors, but they're also loud voices in the locker room. And when you have guys that are contributing and can do a lot of good things on the court, but then also be sort of those voices of wisdom in the locker room, I mean, it just creates some really good vibes, and it leads to some really big basketball. I think the other thing is, you know, bringing up a guy like George Niang, he has not been afraid to coach up some of these young guys. You see him talking to Zachary Risacher, you know, on the sideline, talking to Don Barlow, going over, you know, I know there's a lot of knock against how George Niang plays defense or the lack thereof.
Right.
But he's seen a lot of different coverages, and so he, you know, at least in theory knows what to do. Whether it's executed, you know, consistently is a different story. So, you know, he just has a wealth of knowledge that he's been passing on to some of those young guys, and he's credited guys like Joe Ingles and I can't remember the other guy that he talked about that, you know, played a huge role in his career. And so when you're passing knowledge on from guys who have had long careers in the NBA to this new generation of players, I mean, it's huge for this Hawks team.
So, look, I look at the East, Lauren, differently than I do the West. I think the West is just stacked, and I can't tell you who's going to come out. But, like, I think the Cavs and the Celtics are obviously the two best teams in the East, right? But if you were to tell me that the Hawks would somehow get the Knicks or the Pacers or the Bucks, or even the Pistons in a seven-game series, I like our chances. Am I crazy?
You mean for them to make it to the sixth seed?
No, I'm just saying, like, if you could get there, great. But I know it's going to be difficult times running out. I'm just saying from a matchup standpoint, I guess the Knicks or the Pacers or the Bucks or the – they don't scare me as much as if we had to deal with the Cavs or the Celtics in a seven-game series, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I would agree on that. I would disagree a little bit on the Pistons just because they're a tough team. I mean, all of these teams are tough teams, but the Pistons just play a way where they literally have nothing to lose because this is the first time they've been here in, you know, quite a while. And so they almost swept the Hawks this season going 3-1. So that's a matchup that I don't necessarily love for the Hawks. We saw them struggle against a guy like Cade Cunningham, Jalen Duren, and just the amount of shooters that they have on that team. It's what's helped them so much this season. You think of Malik Beasley, and that's somebody that the Hawks had struggled to stop early in the season as well. So I don't love that matchup for the Hawks, but if we're picking one, you know, I like the matchup against the Knicks. I think that's something that, you know, can help the Hawks in a seven-game series. The Knicks are a slower team just because they play those guys so much. And Jalen Brunson, you know, he – For all, you know, all the credit he gets, you know, he's kind of like a Shea where he knows how to bait the fouls and gets the favorable call. So that's something that the Hawks, as an inexperienced team, they're going to have to learn how to deal with. We, you know, saw them have some success against it at the beginning of the season. But, you know, in those last couple of matchups, the Hawks just couldn't quite get there. Even though those games were close, they just couldn't quite get over the hump. So, Oh, sorry. Go ahead, please.
No, Lauren, I was going to say, I mean, it seems like, you know, we're kind of locked in, I think, you know, where it would require, you know, not having the injuries and all the things that happened in the trade. Yes, we could have been a 5 or 6. In my heart of hearts, I believe that if Jalen is healthy.
I believe that, too.
What about Zachary? What about Zachary Risacher for the Rookie of the Year? I was just telling Carl, we were looking at the numbers during the commercial break, and Stephon Castle's got slightly better as far as points per game, and you know, I guess maybe he gets it. Alexander Sarr, we didn't really talk much about him, Carl. His numbers aren't bad, you know, for a 7-footer, 12-6 in his rookie year. But do you think Risacher will get serious consideration for rookie, or it's going to be Stephon Castle?
You know, I definitely think at this point it's probably Castle's to lose just because he's had so much exposure up until this point. But a lot of this actually reminds me of when I covered Cade's rookie year, and he kind of turned it on toward the end of the season, and that sort of helped to make his case for Rookie of the Year. Then it ultimately went to Scotty Barnes, who was on a contributing team. So maybe in that case, Zachary could kind of, you know, pick up some steam a little bit because he's an active contributor on a team that's getting, you know, postseason activity going or has a bid for the postseason. So maybe that's what kind of makes his case a little bit just because he's contributed so much. But yeah, I love the way that Zach's been playing. You know, the fact that his offensive game has really come out and has really started to shine. It's great just because his defense was already there. We were just waiting for those shots to fall a little bit more consistently. And the fact that he's finishing at the rim with both hands and doing so efficiently, you know, that bodes well for the Hawks, even if he doesn't win Rookie of the Year.
I just feel like Stephon Castle, he hasn't elevated the Spurs. Rashad Shea has helped elevate the Hawks.
Right.
And if you look at it from that standpoint, then, you know, even with the injury that the Spurs are dealing with, and obviously, you know, Wimby going down, but Castle hasn't elevated them to the point that Wimby has. That, or not Wimby, but Rashad Shea. That would be my argument, but I'm a little biased, obviously, being here in Atlanta. Let me ask you this as we talk about our Hawks. This is one, something that Mike and I get. We're talking with Lauren Williams, guys, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hawks in action tonight. Lauren, I don't know if the number's correct. I know it's close. Like, we're $48 million under the luxury tax. And the question that we continue to get is, okay, great. I like the moves. I like what we've done. But tell me we're going to spend money, Dukes. Tell me we're going to do something this offseason being this far under the luxury tax and having this kind of money to spend. It may be an offseason a question for you, but I have people asking me this, and I want to present it to you. What do you think the answer is?
You know, I think it depends a little bit on how things shake out in the postseason. You know, are they able to make, not necessarily a run, but are they able to build off of what they did last year? And obviously, they're in a much better position than they were in last year, being the seventh seed. I think the thing is, you got to spend money on Dyson Daniels. You got to spend money on Caris LeVert just because you're going to want to bring him back just because of what he's been able to do for this team and taking some of that load off of Trey on the offensive side of the ball. So, yeah, I think they're at a point where they're going to have to start spending a little bit of money, especially depending on what happens with that Sacramento pick. They're not going to be able to rely on that rookie scale contract. And they're only likely going to get that one pick from the Lakers. So, yeah, I think it's time that they probably start to spend money, because you look at the roster and who's unlikely to be back. It's just hard for me to see a guy like Garrison Matthews coming back, who's been at the end of the bench. They've been wanting to take a look at Jacob Toppin, who they brought over on that two-way deal. So we have no idea what they're going to do with that, what they're going to do there. It's tough for me to see, you know, Clint Capella coming back. So it's just that there's some roster spots that are going to open up. And, yeah, I think they're at a point where if they want to get better, it's probably time that they start spending a little bit more money.
Right. And as we said earlier, I know we got to catch a break, Lauren, but it might not be stars. It might just be some of its parts.
Might just be some of its parts.
All right.
Great stuff. Lauren Williams, thanks again. We'll talk soon. And make sure you guys check her out and read her stuff, AJC.com. We'll talk soon, Lauren. Thanks again.
All right. Thanks, guys.